Hebrews chapter 4. We start reading with verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, you may not think that this is a Christmas message. And you may have different attitudes and different opinions about it, but we need to remember something. Jesus came with a distinct purpose. Jesus came with a plan. And Jesus came so that we could enter into a relationship with him that provided rest. Now, the word rest means to cease from our labors. So you all can quit your jobs, go home, and no longer do anything. You can be retired like Stan and I. Now is the time to take an offering, huh? But there's a very interesting connection with the rest he's talking about. We need to learn that when God is speaking of rest, he's inviting us to enter in to that relationship that is so connected to him that we have absolute peace about our lives and our relationship with him, and we're not trying to earn something. I want you to understand that. You may say, well, what do you mean? How many remember the Old Testament? How many remember the people having to bring calves and Mary even a turtle doves and things like this as they offered sacrifice year after year after year after year? And then one day a week they had the big day, the Day of Atonement. And so these people of the Old Testament did not earn salvation, but they had to work to come to a place where they gave it all. They had a list of things they had to do. They had a way of presenting it. They had a way of doing it, which, if nothing else, was burdensome. And now God says, I want you to come, and I want you to enter rest. It's not your labors that bring you salvation or healing or deliverance or freedom. It's not what you're doing to earn it. You're coming to a place where you're in partnership with me, and here's how I want to have it happen. I want you just to be willing to allow me to work through you. The works that we do in the kingdom of God is God doing them through us. And there's not a big effort put forth on our part to do it. We're coming to him, and he says, I'll heal that person for you. You pray for him. I'll do that work for you, and I'll do it through you. And it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ball game than getting up in the morning and saying, boy, I got to do this for God today. What are we trying to earn? Or I'm sick, so I have to go out and do something so maybe God will have mercy on me and give me healing. Can I tell you something? You receive healing the same way you receive salvation. It's an act of faith, not by works. God is not looking at us and saying, I want you to run yourself crazy. I want you to wear yourself out for my kingdom. I want you never to have a moment where you can rest and have peace. I just want you doing things because that's how I work in you. That's not how he does it. He's saying, come and sit before me, listen to me, rest in me, and I will lead you through the path that I want you to proceed down. And our effort is simply saying, yes, Lord. However you want to do it. Because I know there's people here. And something, you get a bad report and you say, boy, I got to do something nice for somebody. I got to pray more. I got to read my Bible more. I got to do something this. And maybe God will grant me some favor and minister in this area. I want you to know something. You already have favor. How can you earn something you already have? And so God is coming saying, it's time for my body to relax and be my body. You know, we're the body of Christ. How many of you, if you were doing something, all of a sudden your arm took off and started doing something else? Or your one leg got spastic and said, I'm going the other direction. You know, we'd look at that and say, well, that's crazy. The head tells the body what to do. How many understands that? Are you okay? If your head was cut off, you'd be spasmodic for a few seconds. You'd be shaking and jumping and well, how many have ever cut a head off a chicken? Yes. But Tony likes that. What's my greatest thrill in life? I just butchered my rooster. And so we come to a place where we actually feel that we have to be more active than our head. And our head is Jesus. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is telling you, this is what I want you to do for me, but wait a minute. I don't want you to go out and do it. I want to do it through you. I want to lead you and guide you and direct you and instill within you the principles of ministry that I'm doing through you. But sometimes we don't like that. How many of you are high energy? How many have any energy? You know, I used to be a high energy guy. I could do anything and work and have 14 things going at one time, and Kirk would look at me and shake his head, and that's not necessarily the way to do it. The way to do it is do what God tells you to do. Minister as God tells you to do. It's kind of interesting, and I thought of it this morning as I was studying. I hear a lot of people, some people would come up to me and say, well, Pastor, what about rewards? I know, I read 1 Corinthians 3. You know, our works are going to be hay, wood, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. I understand that. But let's think for a moment. Do you know what you're getting reward for? You're getting rewarded for allowing God to do what he wants to do through you. Come on. It's really true. You're getting rewarded for coming to a place and saying, God, I'm going to let you do through me what you want to do. And that's it. He says, for faithfulness. Faithfulness is coming before God, and it's not a nerve-wracking thing. It's not a white-knuckled thing. It's not a panic thing. Well, I got to get a hold of this, and I got to get this done because God's going to be upset. Why would God be upset? He's doing it through you. Take a deep breath. Enjoy life. Yeah. It reminds me, and I told the people Wednesday night, and some people picked it up, but others kind of just a stupid story. But I read one day where this little girl got up in the morning, and everybody was nervous because Grandma and Grandpa was coming. Everybody was coming, and everybody was yelling at each other. Everybody was mad at everybody. Everybody was going nuts. All day long, she couldn't eat right. She couldn't open her presents right. She couldn't do this right. She couldn't do that right. She didn't do anything right. And so finally, as she went to bed to do her prayers, she started going, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." It's supposed to be a relaxed time. So what if the turkey isn't done at 2 o'clock? It'll be done by 5. By then you'll be more hungry anyway. But rest. Rest in the Lord. Our whole body system gets out of line when we're tense and there's pressure and there's stress and there's things going on. But God says something that's so important. Everything he's done for us is not something we've earned. It's something he willingly gives us. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
It's really true. It's really true. Skip down to verse number 12 with me, will you? Let me go back to rest for a moment. How many realize why the children of Israel did not go in the promised land? What was the reason? Unbelief. It's hard to rest with worry and fear and doubt in your mind. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just hard to rest. I've learned something. And I'm not talking against anything God does for me. But when it's time for me to go, why should it be such a big deal? I'm leaving winter and entering into heaven. Yeah, I love my family. I love the grandkids. I love all the children. I love Judy. But we come to a place where when it's time to go, it's okay. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Are we okay?
Yep.
And so I'm going to rest. You know, I'm not battling that demon that keeps telling me stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and there's another way of looking at it. If Jared doesn't get the basement done, it's okay. And I just...
I'm under your chain.
Yeah. And Heather just stoned me. I thought it was just a 1 or 2 day job. He said, no, this isn't going to happen in 2 days. But it'll get done. Amen. I mean, I'm not telling you to be lazy. I'm not telling you to be slothful. I'm not telling you, I'm not doing nothing. I'm saying, hear the voice of God and do what God's telling you. Because when God is behind it, you're going to do it, and the energy is going to be there to do it, and the work will be accomplished. Amen? It's true. Verse number 12. It does work. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a battle within us at times. There's a battle within us at times from what our mind is trying to tell us to do and what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. You know, if we allow our mind to control us and it controls our spirit, we will live in fear and worry and pain and anxiety and nervousness and panic. But there comes a time through the Word of God that God wants to separate the soul from the spirit. And I'm not talking about your spirits over here and your souls down the road 100 miles. I'm not talking your mind that way. I'm talking about the fact that God has an order. And I believe Paul demonstrated that order in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he said, "My prayer is that you be preserved spirit, soul, and body until the coming of the Lord." Now here's what happens to me. There are times that we go through a period of time and everything is spirit-led. And there's a time you're wore out, you're tired, things aren't going well, and then your mind starts taking over. And your thoughts, they're not normal. And you even come to a place that if your body begins reacting to the mind and the actions, they're not normal. And so we come to a place through the Word of God that we allow the Holy Spirit to empower the spirit to renew the mind. And our spiritual man becomes the one through the Holy Spirit that's in charge. And we begin walking this life out simply for the fact that the Word of God becomes the one through the Holy Spirit that's in charge. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And now I'm not going to talk negative now. But how many have ever done something right and people thought it was wrong? How many have ever done something with good intentions? Your intentions were not what people thought they were. Your intentions were not to draw attention to yourself or have somebody say something good about you or go through an area. Your intentions were to help somebody, minister to somebody, bring a solution to a situation. And all you had for the whole day or the whole week or 25 years was trouble because you did it. Anybody been there? How many resemble that remark? The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, knows the intents of your heart. And you may have sat and said, "God, I didn't mean it that way. That's not what my intention was. That's not what my plan was. That's not what my goal was." And God knows that. Isn't that interesting? And if you've been behind that kind of eight ball with people saying things about you and doing things to you because of such and such or because of this or because of that, understand this today. God knows exactly what your intentions were. He knows that. He understands that. And as you are feeling beat up or overrun or unacceptable or ostracized or whatever word you want to use, understand God knows the real reason you did what you did or said what you did. So relax. Rest. It's okay. Because some people will really never understand your heart. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, and that word discern is very interesting because it means skillful at judging. Not condemning, just skillful at judging your intentions. And God understands that. People may not. Maybe sometimes you don't, but God does. And I can take a deep breath and I can relax Because the things I'm doing that I feel God's leading me to do, if someone misses what I'm doing and don't understand what I'm doing, I feel bad for them. I'm not there to intentionally hurt them. But God says, do it. And I understand your motive, your intentions for doing it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you take a deep breath? I'm free. I'm free from myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who was passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Kind of interesting. All this stuff is rest and intents and the word and confession and coming boldly before the throne of grace. All these things are tied right in here. And because of Jesus, we can have all this. What was the duty of the high priest? The Old Testament high priest? Offer sacrifice and intercessions. The Bible says that the high priest would have to be changed because they would die in the book of Hebrews. And so there came one high priest after another. And time of Jesus' birth, we had Caiaphas and some of these other priests, they were there. And then the Bible would say in Hebrews that these high priests would have to come every year to offer sacrifices. But Jesus, once and for all, offered himself a sacrifice for all sins. So never would the high priest sacrifice himself. But Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. Now, the word confession is very interesting. And do we have that one up there? I think probably in the King James it would use the word profession. Same word, same Greek word. You can use confession or profession, and you're okay. The word confession or profession means to agree with or to say the same thing. Okay? To agree with or say the same thing. A confession you can never go wrong in saying and agreeing with is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over this situation. Another confession that you can make is, I am loved. Bill Johnson said, and we heard Bill Johnson from Steve just a few moments ago. Bill Johnson said, never say anything about yourself that God is not saying about you. I want you to think about that. God is not up there thinking, oh, boy, that Dwight, he's stupid. That Dwight can never do anything wrong. Right. That Dwight, he knows nothing about nothing. You know? I can mess up anything quicker than anybody else. Ask Kirk. You go in there to work on a water heater, and pretty soon the water's coming out the top, and the line's broke because Pastor has a big elbow. It's not funny. What are you laughed over here? But God doesn't sit up there and saying, oh man, can they ever do anything right? Can they ever, you know what God says? That's my child. I love that child. I died for that child. I have the best plans for that child. Whoever you are. And when you come to a tough spot, agree with God. Jesus is Lord over that situation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We come to a place where we allow our confession to be dictated to us by an outside force. And we come to a place, no matter what it is, that I'm loved and I'm accepted by God, Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm walking this out. And we just keep on going. We just keep on going. We don't quit. We don't stop. We don't entertain quitting. That's not from God. God never looked at you and said, "Boy, I just wish they'd quit." Huh? They're not the Vikings. And so we come to a place where whatever we're going through, whatever's happening, and this is a little bit about that response to God thing. I just give response to God. I'm thankful. I love him. I praise him. I'm responding to his kindness and his goodness. Keep in mind, God didn't give you any disease. God didn't burn your house down. God didn't cause a car wreck. God didn't do these things. And so why do I get mad at God? I don't understand it. I went through it for a little while when my folks were killed. I didn't understand what happened and why it happened. And I didn't. But then I realized, hey, I'm going to get even with God by allowing my life to become a wreck and going to hell? That don't make sense. Because God didn't do it in the first place. And after a while, you come to the recognition that God didn't do it to me. We make that confession, Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's in charge of everything. He's in control. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the enemy, and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, I'm not making any mass predictions. We'll look at it probably next month when we do some things on end times. But I'm not making any mass predictions. But you know, if you've got two eyes and got two ears, that things are changing in this world. But God is still in control. He's still there. He's still there. And we need to understand that. We need to understand he still has this world in the palm of his hand, and everything he has designed for this world is going to work out. It's going to work out. For we do not have a high priest who is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in every point was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Just one word to sum up this whole verse. He identifies with you. He identifies with everything about your life and everything you're going through. And he's working with you. And because he identifies with what you're going through, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. You may be facing temptation. So did Jesus. His temptation was a little different than ours. He had fasted 40 days. And then came the big temptations when he was hungry, when he was lonely, when he was all by himself out there. Then the devil started throwing the big ones at him. So whatever you've been through and whatever you're going through, God's there with you and he identifies with you. And then he says this, therefore let us boldly come before the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word boldly means confidently and with courage. Don't turn around and back up to God because we're afraid. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your situation is. He knows what you're facing. Come with faith. Come with confidence. And don't just give up on it. Don't say, well, God, I know you're busy, and I know you got all this stuff, and I know that all this is going on, and I know you really don't have time. There's 6 billion people in the world, and all of them talk. Don't come that way. Have your audience with God, you and him, because he can handle that. Just a one-on-one situation. Let him know what you're going through. Let him know what you're feeling. Let him know what's happening. Because he already knows how you feel. And don't get mad at somebody else because you're really mad at God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, sometimes as people, how many of you are a people? Sometimes as people, we're angry with God and we don't feel like we can tell him something as if he doesn't know, and so we take out our anger in somebody else. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. If you're angry and you think God failed you, he can handle it. He's not going to fall off his throne. Approach him. Let it out. It's killing you. It's not going to bother him, except he loves you and he'll try to work it out with you. And so, as Christmas Day comes, we're all beautiful, nice little children of God, smiling at one another, helping one another, loving one another, hugging one another. Because you know something? Even though you don't accept it, there's nothing wrong. Because God's in charge. And we step into that place where God wants us to be. And we come to that place where I'm going to rest. What God asked me to do, I'm going to do. And I'm going to enjoy this holiday season. Now, if you come to somebody's house who invited you over and nothing's ready, don't yell at them. And don't blame me. Because they're resting. They're resting in the Lord. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your love and your support. And Father, we just thank you for this congregation. We bless them now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for a wonderful time as we experience the joy of our Savior's birth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, be